NPR's news analyst Juan Williams has also had his eye on the Obama administration this week and joins us in our studio. Juan, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
We just heard Don say that all the public amity and vows to work together to the contrary. The stimulus package seems to be pretty much a one-party affair so far. What's in the House draft of a stimulus package, and what are some of the sticking points?
Well, in the House draft, as it's been devised by the Democrats, who are in the majority, as you know, there's like a $5,000 tax credit for anybody that makes less than $75,000 a year. They also want to boost the earned income tax credit for people who aren't paying taxes in the country. And they want to put money in, of course, for things like colleges and alternative fuels and the like. And that really has set the Republicans on edge because their argument is more of this money should be going to, let's say, small businesses and tax breaks in the form, in forms that would generate job creation and economic activity. Now, yesterday there was this wonderful exchange, as reported, at the White House, the president meeting with all the leaders, and John Kyle, the senator from Arizona, says he doesn't see why there should be these tax breaks for low-income people, to which Barack Obama, President Obama, responds, "I won. There was a November election, and I won. Argument settled." Republicans are taking this to be kind of a slap in the face from a man who had promised that there would be a bipartisan approach. The other thing that's in there that upsets them are things like money for contraception, for energy savings plans, money that goes to the states to help with Medicare and Medicaid. And some of the Republicans say that's just going to allow the states to waste money on other items because the federal government's covering their expenses on required spending, entitlement spending for health care.
And let me steer over to Guantanamo. President Obama signed off on closing, shutting it down within a year. It happens on more or less the same day it got reported that a prisoner who was released from Guantanamo in 2007 has become an al-Qaeda leader in Yemen. Now, does this suggest that closing Guantanamo is going to be more complicated?
It's complicated. I don't think anybody ever thought it wasn't complicated. Now, there was a gesture made this week, and I think about how I use that word gesture, by President Obama in signing an order saying we're going to close Guantanamo Bay. But, of course, he hasn't dealt with the complexities of it. How do you deal with these people? Do they go to military courts? Do we have to have legislation that creates new vehicles for dealing with people where you couldn't have evidence introduced because the evidence against them was gained through intelligence or maybe even coercive measures? Are other countries willing to take some of these people from Guantanamo? And what happens if that country is Yemen that took, for example, this man we're talking about and now has allowed him back onto the battlefield?
We're going to play a clip from The Daily Show that I think, of course, there's some of our listeners want us to play, only play clips from The Daily Show, as a matter of fact, when we're on the air. Well, let me go ahead and suggest it and or play it and get your reaction.
We can usher in a new era of enhanced prosperity and peace.
America must play its role in ushering in a new era of peace.
Did our generation advance the cause of freedom?
We carried forth that great gift of freedom and delivered it safely to future generations.
Why are you doing this?
Psych!
Of course, John Stewart. Does this suggest that where you stand depends on where you sit, and Mr. Obama now sits in the Oval Office?
He sits in the Oval Office. He's getting all the briefings that former President Bush, former Vice President Cheney ever got. He's under the pressure to make sure the country's not attacked again. He's got to deal with the weight of those issues. This morning there came news that he had approved an airstrike in Pakistan despite the protests coming from the Pakistani government. So he's continuing so many of the policies of the Bush administration. And the language, you know, if you think about the inaugural language where he talked about not terrorists, don't make any mistake, the American spirit's not going to be broken, where he spoke to the Arab world about understanding it's not what they destroy but what they build that will allow their people to prosper. I think John Stewart's onto something here. If you're president, there's certain language that you have to use. But, of course, I think it's off-putting given the call for change that came from the campaigner, the candidate, Obama.
Before you go, finally this morning, Juan, you, of course, you wrote Eyes on the Prize. Right. I don't mind saying the definitive history of the American civil rights movement. What's this moment like to see Barack Obama as president of the United States?
Scott, it's stunning. You know, President Obama didn't really use the language of the moment in his speech. I think he spoke as the American president. But Joe Lowry, who helped found the Southern Christian Leadership Conference with Martin Luther King Jr., when he started quoting from Lift Every Voice and Sing in his benediction and talking about silent tears, and talking about days that he could not have dreamed of with Dr. King. I started to get emotional. It's unbelievable, Scott.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Juan Williams.